So as I mentioned earlier, this is our final lesson in this series that we've had throughout the month of May called Identity. Next week, Daryl will be preaching. Sarah and I and the girls are going to spend some time up in Ohio and God's country. And just kidding. That's like blasphemy in Texas to say something like that. But we're going to be up there. Daryl's going to be preaching. Appreciate him doing that. Ezra is going to preach during the PM service. And then the following Sunday, we are going to start a summer series on the book of Colossians. So you may want to read ahead, spend some time in that letter. And then for about 12 Sunday mornings, we are going to have lessons from that letter. Today, we are going to talk about our identity as sheep. Philip Keller, in his very well-known book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, he wrote this in the introduction to that book. "It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways." Pretty humbling, isn't it? "Our mass mind or mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. Yet despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us, buys us, calls us by name, makes us his own, and delights in caring for us." Let's look at the 23rd Psalm. You may want to open your Bibles up there. Find it. It'll also be on the screen. I'd like to read that psalm in its entirety, and then a little bit later on, we'll kind of work through this psalm verse by verse. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along paths of righteousness," or the right paths, "for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of your life, or of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We know this is a psalm of David. We know that David himself was a shepherd. As he wrote these words about God, he had a very good grasp on what he was saying about God when he referred to him as a shepherd. First of all, we need to say about this, going back to verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing," or as you may remember it, "I shall not want." In those first few words of this psalm, I think we look over this too often, there is an incredibly faithful proclamation. "The Lord is my shepherd." A faithful statement right there. God is my guide. God is the one that is going to protect me, care for me, lead me in his paths. From the outset of this psalm is a faithful proclamation. I think this first verse is like a subject sentence for the rest of the psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd," the faithful proclamation, "and because of that, I shall not want," or "I lack nothing." We're talking about our identity in this series, who we are. And here's what it comes down to. And we've said this in a couple different ways throughout this series. But what we hear from the world are messages like, "You're not enough," or "You will be enough once you do this, or say this, or have this, or earn this amount." But this psalm, in such a faithful and powerful and clear and vivid way, says, "When the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. I would encourage you, I'm not going to stop here. Some of you would appreciate that, I think, if we just closed the sermon right here. But I want to encourage you, just with this first verse here of Psalm 23, allow this to be your prayer for a day, or a few days, or a week. Imagine these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Imagine these words working on your mind and working on your heart. Just these words. "The Lord is my shepherd. He is my God. He is my protector. I find my care, my identity in Him. And when that is the case, I lack nothing. I'm enough, but it's because of who God is. It's because of the one that is leading me." Verses 2 and 3. So as I mentioned, we have the subject sentence. And then in a very vivid, very profound way, David sort of plays out this truth that the Lord is his shepherd and he shall not want. So the language here is so powerful. Remember, it was a shepherd himself who was offering these words. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul," or restores my soul. "And he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." So for these sheep, they require green pastures. They require quiet waters. This is sustenance and protection for the sheep. Remember the subject sentence, "I lack nothing." So here the shepherd, in caring for his sheep, provides food, provides water, provides safety for the sheep. The psalmist says that his soul is refreshed or restored. He says that the shepherd guides him. He guides me. And I love this. It's not for the sheep's sake. It's not for David's sake. It's for the Lord's sake. It's for the Lord's glory. It's for the Lord's glorification, for the Lord's enjoyment, we might say. And I think this picture that we have here is a picture of peace, and we might even use the word serenity here. Everything is taken care of. We know that the sheep require this. I don't think it's an accident how the psalmist says it here, though. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Some of us live a pretty tumultuous life. We might even use words like crazy or chaotic to talk about the pace of our life. The shepherd knows what the sheep need. And sometimes that means making the sheep lay down or lie down. Some of us need to allow those words to be absorbed into our hearts. The shepherd makes the sheep lie down. Verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David knew valleys. He knew about being chased by Saul. He knew the valleys that were caused by evil, by sin. But he understood that God, in faithfulness, would be present with him, even in the darkest valley, even in the shadow of death. David says, "I will fear no evil." Why? Because God, the shepherd, is with him. "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The comfort, the peace, it comes because of who the shepherd is, not because of who the sheep is. Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Preparing a table, again, this idea of provision and care. I think there's a recognition in this section of the psalm is important for all of us to recognize. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The recognition here is that, in fact, there are enemies. There are those that are opposed to God and to God's people. But even in the presence of the enemy, because, again, the subject sentence, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, even with the reality of enemies in the world, in our lives, still David recognizes that the Lord has prepared a table before him, a table of provision and care, even in the midst of enemies. He says, my cup overflows. You had moments like this? Maybe you didn't just verbally say, my cup is overflowing right now. But you sense it. You feel it. You know it. My cup overflows. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I promise you. Well, I don't promise you. You're going to hold me to it, and I'm going to get myself in trouble. I don't always want to like talk about Adeline and Audrey. You're all going to get worn out from hearing about them. But just yesterday, and of course, this psalm was on my heart. I was thinking about it all week long. But we were just driving home. Sarah's right there, and Adeline and Audrey are in the back seat. We had just spent time with Jared and Alicia, now Allred, and their wedding. And as we're driving home, just hit me. That's the language. That's the language that came to my mind, and it's the appropriate. My cup overflows. Not only shall I not want, but as the Lord, my shepherd, as he gives and he shares and he offers his life, it's as if it can't be contained. A cup overflows. And David had just said that there are enemies. He had mentioned there were enemies, and he had mentioned that he had spent time in the darkest valley. I think you can hold those two together. You can recognize the pressure of the world, the challenges in life, but you can also recognize that as the Lord, the shepherd, guides us, we have what we need and all the more. Our cup, it overflows. It's because of God. It's because of his care and his love. Surely, verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the promise. Surely, absolutely, certainly. When I learned this psalm when I was littler, I always thought surely was like part of the promise. I don't know. Am I alone in this? Like, surely your goodness, you know, surely goodness and love. I was like, so I get goodness and love, but I don't get surely in this. It was just me. It's all right. Surely your goodness and love, certainly your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. My life will be characterized by the goodness and the love of the shepherd. And I will dwell, I will live in the presence of God forever. Satan wants us to believe that we need something else to be content, to have peace. I will have peace. I will be content when. You all can probably fill in that blank of things that have gone through your minds over the years. I will be content. I will have peace when, fill in the blank. And this psalm, it just directly opposes that thought. When you have God, you're dwelling in his house, you're feasting at his table, you're walking with him as his rod and his staff protect you. You have it. You have it. You have that peace. You can have that contentment. So what if we really got this? What if I got this? What if you got this? What if you understood it? God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. So what happens is, I'm going to call this the plague of forgetfulness. We all are hit with the plague of forgetfulness. So we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is a long reading. Bear with me. The passage will be on the screen. I'll read a bunch of verses here from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and see if what takes place in this teaching, what we're reading here from Moses, see if this resonates with you. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 8. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Got a picture of the promised land here, right? Everything is really good. This is going to be great. Okay, verse 10. This is where, hang with me here, okay? Verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Okay, here we go. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. No scorpions in Ohio. So see what I'm saying here? He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. Verse 17, pay attention. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. These are the instructions before they go into the land. Do not forget who has provided all this care for you. Don't forget the one who has fed you. Don't forget the one who has led you out of Egyptian slavery. Don't forget. Remember. The leaders of this country that we live in have decided that we need a Memorial Day. A day to remember those who have given their lives for our freedom. In the same way, as we come together as a church, we come together as people bent on remembering what God has done for us. Don't forget his care. Don't forget his leadership. Don't forget his guidance. Don't forgets. We think we're in control. We're not that much different than the Israelites. We know the rest of the story with the Israelites. What happened when they got to the new land? They forgot. Didn't they? They forgot. Our lives, your life, my life, are in the hands of God. And that's a really good place to be. In peace and contentment, they come from faith in this God. Contentment, peace. It's cultivated in a life, in a people who trust in God. Over in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35-38. I'm doing some Testament whiplash here, right? Matthew 9, 35-38. Matthew writes, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. As we look out at our world, as we interact with folks, perhaps this is even describing you today. Jesus sees the people. He's moved with compassion. He's moved in his gut about this. And he says, these folks, they're harassed and helpless. They're like sheep without a shepherd. We know people who are harassed and helpless, don't we? This past week, as I was driving into Austin for a seminar, I saw people standing on the street, harassed and helpless. Broken marriages, pain, experiencing the loss of loved ones, difficulties at work, go on and on. People are harassed and helpless. Harassed and helpless. Each week as we come together, we're reminded of two very important truths. All of us have found our rescuing from God through Jesus Christ. And so I think it's fair to say that all of us in one level or another have been, could consider ourselves harassed and helpless. When we look in the mirror, we see someone who is harassed and helpless, and we might say from sin and death. But we understand that rescuing comes from Jesus Christ. The other truth is this, that we know people, that there are people living all around us. Some we will interact with here in just a few minutes at Chili's or McDonald's or wherever the case may be, that are harassed and helpless. And we know where rescuing comes from. We understand that it comes from the shepherd. See, we know this rescuing power. We understand what it means to be rescued from a life that's harassed and helpless. And so we've got the message. What I want to leave you with today, though, is I don't, when you walk out today, I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty. I would hope that as we walk out of this place today, that we walk away inspired. We know the shepherd. And so the hope is that God will be at work within us. It's not going to come down to our own abilities. It's not going to be about what we can do. It's not going to be how well we can articulate the faith. This all comes, we can walk away inspired because we understand that it's the shepherd, it's God that is working through us to share the good news of where rescuing comes from. So my hope is that we don't walk away guilty. Oh man, Rob said, like, I'm supposed to talk to someone about Jesus. Like, let's not think about it this way. And then you're like, you interact with somebody and you're like, well, I didn't tell them about Jesus. I'm a failure. That's not what we want. I hope we can walk away inspired. And maybe it changed. And what we're doing is we're praying, God, give me the words. Give me the opportunities. I know folks who are harassed and helpless, and I know the shepherd, and I want them to be able to find that true rescuing that comes from the good shepherd. Maybe we could walk away today inspired. The Catholic priest, Henry Nouwen, in his book, With Open Hands, he explains the importance of coming to God with hands open before God. This is what he writes about this idea. He said, stand in God's presence with open hands, naked and vulnerable, proclaiming to ourselves and to others that without God we can do nothing. As disciples, we find not some, but all of our strength, hope, courage, and confidence in God. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and if you're comfortable with this, if you're not comfortable, that's okay. If you're comfortable with this, would you just sit there and open your hands up like this? God, our shepherd, all that we are, all that we possess, all that we desire. Father, we want to just open ourselves up to you. Father, it's our prayer that as we open ourselves up to you, open our hands up to you, symbolizing that our hearts and our minds and our lives are open to you, we pray that you will give us what we need. Or maybe that you will give us a clearer understanding that you are our shepherd, that you are guiding us, you are caring for us, you are protecting us, and you are working through us. As we have our hands open to you now, Father, it's our prayer that you will fill us with what you know that we need. And we say, Father, with hands open to you now, naked and vulnerable, we say, Father, that we want to be completely yours. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'll close with Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, Isaiah writes. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And there is the basis of our hope. The sheep was led, or Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And he did so in love for us. We have been rescued from sin and death by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. If there's anybody here today that desires the prayers of the church family, we would love to pray with you or for you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to give your life to Jesus in baptism, we would just love to witness you make that decision today. Here in a moment, Daryl's going to lead us in an invitation song. If you need the prayers of the assembly or are ready to be baptized, whatever need that you have, really, you can come forward now as we stand and we continue to worship our shepherd.
calleth thee now to come into the fold.